Today is the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, and here are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. We will not have benediction this evening, but the next week or two, we will resume that Sunday devotion, but not this Sunday. Tomorrow, the Mass is at 8:30 a.m. as usual, and followed by the cleaning of the chapel and the hall. And we just encourage anybody who is interested in becoming a new volunteer that we would be grateful to do that, because as the years pass by, some people move away or are not able to do it, so we want to just encourage you to do that. And we do thank those who have been doing that beautiful work of cleaning our chapel and the hall. This Friday is a very important feast, and it is the feast of the dedication of St. Michael the Archangel. So there'll be a high mass at 9 a.m. this Friday. Now, it is not a holy day of obligation, as you know, but we would encourage as many of you to come as possible, because it's not very often that you hear a sermon about the angels, especially St. Michael. So I'm going to just take a moment, because some of you can't come because of obligations, work or school, and we understand that. But he is a great patron and defender of the Catholic Church. And that's why we have his image on the back wall there. And on his feast day and for the week following, we have those candles lit next to his statue. Now the word, his name, Michael, it's a Hebrew word, meaning who is like God. And that is the Latin translation, quis ut Deus, is right under his statue. And it is in the form of a question, and as we told you before, and you may hear in the future when Father Superior continues the tour, but just briefly, it means who can claim to be like God? And that was given, that title, that name was given to this great archangel because he led the good angels against the bad angels. When God created the universe, the first creatures before that were the angels, pure spirits, and he gave them a test. And the very instant after they were created, they were given this test, and many of them, led by the greatest of all the angels, Lucifer, failed the test. And it is believed by St. Thomas Aquinas that that test or incident of showing loyalty to God was that sometime in the future there would be a creature beneath the angels that would also be given sanctifying grace, because all the angels were given God's life in their being, in their soul. And they were told that there would be creatures, that's you and I, would also be given this gift. And the angels, many of them, could not abide that because they didn't want to share this great gift with lower creatures. See, they are far greater in their being than we are. We are part material, then we have a spiritual soul. Angels are pure spirits, but the distance between an angel, the lowest angel, and man is far greater than between man and an insect or an ant. So they rebelled. And when Lucifer was rebelling against God in heaven, St. Michael said, who can be like God? Who can claim to do that? So he led the forces of the good angels against him, and God created hell as an eternal punishment for these angels. However, when human beings lead bad lives and follow the ways of the devil, they go also to a place that is not their home, but they also go to hell. So hell does exist. So we want to just say that and encourage you to pray to St. Michael, especially when you're tempted or in danger of committing sin. Now today in the hall, we decided to move it to the hall, there will be the enrollment of children in the catechism classes. So grades 2 through 12, we will have enrollment. One of the priests will be there to take the information and give you information about how we're going to conduct the classes this year. So it'll be after Mass. It'll be about 10 minutes after Mass. And the classes will begin on Saturday, October 14th, so you have a few weeks. And then the final announcement, this is from our Father Superior. Next Sunday, October 1st, we're calling it Greeting Sunday. You will have an opportunity to meet with Father Superior if you wish. And if you're a new person, you've never met him, you can do so at that time in one of the offices here. And if you've been here for 30 or 40 years and you want to say hello, that's fine. You can renew your greeting. And as you know, every so often he likes to make himself available for those who have not met him or just like to say hello. So that's next Sunday after Mass. And then briefly before we read the Epistle and Gospel, today is the Feast of Our Lady of Ransom. Tuesday, Feast of St. Isaac Jogues and Companions. And those saints, if you're not familiar with them, maybe most of us owe our Catholic faith directly or indirectly to these holy men who were Jesuits, priests, brothers, one or two laymen, who came to Quebec and northern New York area in the 17th century and were on a mission to convert the Indians, the Iroquois, the Huron, and other tribes. And we've read and listened to audio tapes of just the unbelievable experiences of these men, their hardships and their sacrifices to bring the faith and to baptize even the most degrading of people, because frankly, many of the Indians lived terrible lives. They were, as many pagan peoples are, they're under the influence of the evil spirit, so they're just living in squalor and doing terrible things. And so their story is one of heroism and dedication, betrayal. And one thing that people don't know about is, it's very rarely commented on, how the French government in those areas and even church authorities, how little they helped these poor priests and brothers. It's almost like they were left to go it alone without any support or defense against the enemies. So you should, if you can, come to Mass that day, but pray to these saints, these great martyrs. Wednesday, Saints Cosmas and Damian, great martyrs, and they are both physicians. Thursday, the 28th, Saint Wenceslaus, they call him a king, but he was actually a duke of Bohemia, what is Slovakia and Czech Republic area, and we've told the story before, but he was the leader of his people, and a very devout man, Catholic, was put to death by his brother, who conspired with their stepmother. Well, you hear the at Christmas time, the good King Wenceslaus Christmas Carol. That's who we're talking about here. So he is one of the patrons of the Slavic people. And then Saturday, Saint Jerome, Doctor of the Church, and the brilliant man who translated the entire Bible by the order of Pope Saint Damasus to Latin, and to make it one uniform translation for the church for all time. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, I pray you not to be disheartened at my tribulations for you, for they are your glory. For this reason I bend my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth receives its name, that he may grant you from his glorious riches to be strengthened with power through his Spirit unto the progress of the inner man, and to have Christ dwelling through faith in your hearts, so that being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know Christ's love which surpasses knowledge, in order that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to accomplish all things in a measure far beyond what we ask or conceive, in keeping with the power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, down through all the ages of time without end. Amen. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, Chapter 14, verses 1 to 11. At that time, when Jesus entered the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to take food, they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath?" But they remained silent. And he took and healed him and let him go. Then addressing them, he said, "Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit and will not immediately draw him up on the Sabbath?" And they could give him no answer to these things. But he also spoke a parable to those invited, observing how they were choosing the first places at table. And he said to them, "When thou art invited to a wedding feast, do not recline in the first place, lest perhaps one more distinguished than thou have been invited by him. And he who invited thee and him come and say to thee, 'Make room for this man,' and then thou begin with shame to take the last place. But when thou art invited, go and recline in the last place, that when he who invited thee comes in, he may say to thee, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then thou wilt be honored in the presence of all who are at table with thee. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Now, as Catholics, we hear virtually every epistle and gospel repeated once a year, sometimes twice, depending on the feast. And then we may think, well, I've heard that, remember this, and there's a beautiful lesson here. And I may even remember what the priest had preached about last year or several years. And then we have a decision to make. Are we going to think, well, I've heard that before, and I really don't need to pay attention, so I'll just close my eyes or not really pay attention or take it to heart? Or the humble person and the fervent person will say, you know, I've heard these words 5, 10, 30, 40 times, and I really have not lived what the church is telling me to do. So I'd ask you to make that decision and to imagine yourself here at Mass for the first time, hearing these words, the words of the Holy Spirit. First of all, if you recall, I happen to have the Mass on Father's Day. Here is that passage that I was talking about. St. Paul, who is only saying what God the Holy Spirit told him, that all fatherhood in heaven and on earth receives its name. Because he says, I bend my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So all fatherhood on heaven and earth comes from God. And it receives its name. So every father, every biological father, every spiritual father has that title because of God the Father. And that's why we call priests father. Because he is the father of all his people in the parish. And secondarily, to anybody who comes up to him. So, as you know, we have this open house and we meet strangers and we, believe it or not, since the open house, we're getting more and more people calling and contacting us, just word of mouth, as we said it would be, word of mouth. And they want help or assistance. So even though they don't come to church here, we make time for them. And he says, that it may grant you from his glorious riches to be strengthened with power through his Spirit unto the progress of the inner man. So God the Father, through Jesus Christ, our Savior, is sending his Holy Spirit to help us to make progress in our spiritual life. Because as you know, and you've heard this, we don't just stay the same. We're either going up to heaven and becoming more perfect, or we're becoming more evil and are on our way to hell. Now that sounds pretty bold that is actually the case. I'm sure everyone knows here people who might have been good, sincere people, and something happened and they started doing bad things, and even when you tried to help them, they don't want to hear it anymore. So they turn their eyes away from you and away from God. And St. Paul is saying the whole root or ground of our spiritual life is divine charity. Grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know Christ's love, which surpasses knowledge. So the love of God is so beyond us, so perfect, that it even surpasses knowledge. So in heaven, if you know this from your catechism, you may have heard it in a sermon, because we are human beings with an immortal soul, that soul has an intellect and a will, and the intellect is the higher faculty of the soul. It's the way we know things. So in heaven, our greatest work will be to see, to know God. And with our wills, we will love God. So we will have just a tiny share in the knowledge and in the love of God in heaven. But it's something that we can't even imagine in this world. Some of the saints did and experienced it. When a soul goes to purgatory, they're on the road to obtaining that. But in this life, we have faith, hope, and charity. Of course, as you know, charity is the greatest. But we absolutely need our faith to believe, even though we don't feel like believing sometimes. Who cares about feelings when you have the faith? And we have hope. We trust that God will give us the way to heaven. He'll keep his promise to lead us to heaven. The only way we will miss our goal of heaven is if we choose the path of destruction, the path of indifference. And everybody knows, everyone here knows when you're going downhill. And it just keeps going off the detour and how hard it is to get back sometimes. Well, that's why we come to Mass on Sunday, to get everybody on the straight path to heaven. Now, the Gospel, we're all familiar with this story, and this is not a parable, this actually happened. This man in this scene had dropsy, which was created a huge amount of water in this man, so he was bloated. And our Lord, at this feast, this meal, had compassion on this man. And so he, to test the sincerity or the honesty of the Pharisees, the scribes and Pharisees, he says, "Is it lawful for me to cure on the Sabbath?" Because, of course, these men knew that our Lord had performed miracles. So he's saying, on the Sabbath, this is a work to help this man. Is it lawful to do that? And they knew down deep it was okay. It was permitted. Because God can do whatever he wants to cure someone on the Sabbath. But they remained silent. They didn't want to indict themselves. And he healed him and let him go. And then he said to them, "Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit and will not immediately draw him up on the Sabbath?" The Mosaic law would allow a Jew to rescue their animal that they depended on the Sabbath. And so if it fell into a pit, they'd have to exert all this work and energy, servile work, on the Sabbath. And yet these men wouldn't even think that our Lord, by his word, could cure this poor man who needed help. So you can see the hypocrisy. These men, whom our Lord was trying to bring back to the true law, to the law of Moses at least, because they were, by their man-made laws, they were departing from the law of Moses and creating all these burdensome rules. So he gave this example that you'll save an animal, but you won't save a man. And then you can imagine the scene. It's a feast, so their custom was not to sit at a table, but the table was low, and they would recline at the table and sort of lean on the table with their arm. And our Lord was observing how people were jockeying to get to the higher place near the important people, near the host of the dinner. And he is saying how foolish that is. Not only at an event like that, but you're showing your arrogance and your pride by trying to always be in the first place. And don't we do that? We're having a conversation, and instead of listening, we start talking over the person. Or as we've said before, we're trying to outdo their story, one-up them, and constantly trying to... I've witnessed that. And it actually is foolish, because the person who started the conversation is just left there, well, I guess my story doesn't matter. Well, that's trying to take the first place, as these men are doing at this dinner. So our Lord says, take the lowest place. Don't always try to be in charge and take over. Let someone else have the chance. And that doesn't mean be a wallflower or a doormat, those expressions. If you have to stand up and take charge or lead or defend the faith or whatever the situation, that's fine. Whether it's at home or work or school, whatever it is. Now here you know the priests and seminarians are in charge, so you never have to worry ever about doing that, right? Just ask for help and we'll give you help. But we just give you that example because he says, but when thou art invited, go and recline at the last place, that when he who invited thee comes in, he may say to thee, friend, go up higher. It all comes down to that source of sin, the greatest of all sins, the sin that doomed Lucifer, that led Adam and Eve to commit sin, pride, thinking we're better than our neighbor, thinking we're better than we really are ourselves. And it can be very deceiving, pride, that terrible vice, because it's really the source of all sin. All the other capital sins have their root in pride, because it's always regarding, centered on self. So sins of lust, for example, pleasure for self, greed, things for self. All about me. Anger. I don't like to be offended. I get upset, so I blow up. I don't care about my neighbor. Sloth. I am so lazy, I don't care really to do anything. Sometimes I don't even take care of myself. But I don't care about my neighbor or anything, so I'm just a lazy bum. And all is centered on pride. So how are we going to get to heaven if we have such a terrible attachment to self? And everybody does in varying degrees. Saying the aspiration, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. Just saying that once will start rooting out that vice of pride. Next month is the month dedicated to Our Lady of the Rosary. Saying your rosary. What does it take, 10 or 15 minutes to say the rosary? You're kneeling down. You're praying to God. You're asking God for help. You're praying with the Blessed Virgin Mary. Those are all acts of humility. And when you do that every day, it gets rid of pride. That poison of pride. And the last point is we have to be very careful, especially sometimes people think Well, I go to a mass like this where I have the true faith and the person looks down on his or her neighbor. Big mistake. I have the true faith. I'm a traditional Catholic. I'm better than these other people. That's not what the saints did. They're always saying to themselves, "Have mercy on me, O Lord. I am a sinner. I am a sinner." And then the other type of pride. Someone has a talent or an ability and they're asked to do something or they're praised in front of others. "Oh, don't say that. I really can't do that. But no, we need your help." "No, I just..." That is false humility because the person's looking for more and more praise. So as the people are begging him to help or they're expressing their admiration of his talents, more and more praise is coming to him. So it satisfies his pride once again. You can see how deceptive pride is because it's from the devil. That's his sin, and he tries to foist it on us. So remember those closing words of the gospel. "For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted." Meaning exalted on the last day, but especially on Judgment Day when we pass away. Because our Lord will see someone who has not striven to just promote himself and his own talents and his own opinions and own will, but is humble before his neighbor, especially humble before God. May God bless you.